Today's daf in Masechet Sukkah, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, is daf Chof Beis, and we're holding right at the top at the Halakha Mishnah. Sukkah HaMiduvlelet. We don't know exactly what that means. What is the word duvlal? I mean, it sounds something like dal, which would mean that it's sort of poor, but it also sounds like mibubal, which means that it would be uneven. Mixture of the two, the Gemara is going to discuss what exactly the meaning is. Vishetzelta meruba mechamata. That's weird. A sukkah who has more shade than sun is kosher. No kidding. I mean, that was the whole first Mishnah in the Masechet, right? Sukkah that has more sun than shade is possible. This sounds like it's the same thing. Although on second thought, it's actually a contradiction. Because the first Mishnah said, a sukkah that has more sun than shade is possible, which is mashma, if it's even, it's kosher. And this one says it's only kosher has more shade than sun. So actually, the Gemara is going to point out, not only is it not extra, it's contradictory. Okay, we have to get into that as well. Let's say the schach is so thick that it's like, it looks almost like a normal roof, like you can't see anything through it. So even though you can't see the stars through it, nonetheless, the sukkah is kosher. So when we say miduvlelet, what exactly do we mean? My miduvlelet, amarav, what this means is a sukkah aniya. It comes from the lashon dal, basically. It's got a lot of airspace in it, so there's a lot of sun that is still coming through, except that there's no one place that has three tvachim of avir. And in its entirety, it's tzelta meruba mechamata. Shmuel says, no, it comes from the word mibulbal, meaning that it's on different levels. You see how Rebbe's done it again, right? Gave us a word that doesn't even have a normal explanation so that we should have all kinds of different approaches to the Mishnah. So what it means is mibulbal, and that means that it sort of goes up and down. So let's imagine a sukkah where we're covering it over with slats, right? So the frame around the roof may be built in such a way that, I'm sure you've seen these kind of things where it goes up and down, right? For one slat, one goes down again. So obviously that's not meant to be on different levels. It's meant to have slats in every other one. But over here, what you did was, is you put one slat on top, one slat on the bottom, one slat on top, one slat on the bottom. So now you've got, this is the way Rashi learns, you've got the sun coming in from the side in between. So ultimately, you've got much more sun than shade because the sun is really penetrating. And because of that, the chiddush over here is that it's kosher. Anyway, now we're going to see the kashrus, is that defined by within three tvachim? Or is there some other principle that's at work over here besides lavud? That we're going to be looking into. But in any event, according to Rashi, what the Mishnah is essentially saying is that if it were the case that these were all on one level, these slats, that then there would be sufficient slat to make it tzelta meruba mechamata, so then it would be kosher. Tosis points out that, look, that doesn't really make any sense. Because the idea over here of the sun coming from the side is never really the issue. I mean, if the sun were directly overhead, so what do we care? If it were directly overhead, so then the shadow of the upper one and the one to the side and to the right and the left, there wouldn't be any sun coming through from the side. So why would the psul be because of the sun? That's just coincidental, basically. And therefore, the problem really is that you don't have a solid area where it's covered with schach. That's how Tosus learns. But remember, we had a lot of discussions of this issue. We were talking about the idea of Ashtarot Karnaim and that it should be Shalom Machmas. The tzel has to be Machmas HaSchach and not Machmas HaDefanes. And we spoke about the whole Ritva over there that explains that basically we do need to take into consideration the fact that in the Northern Hemisphere, we basically can have a pretty big differentiation, especially around Sukkot time, if it comes out in October, and we would come out, I mean, obviously the Southern Hemisphere too, it's the opposite direction, but the idea over here is if you're not on the equator, then you've got a problem. And so the issue would be that even up to 30 degrees, we'd have to worry about the sun. Okay, so this is, and we worked it out that it could come out much more than that, obviously, depending on the time of the year. So in any event, there is a Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi insists the problem is actually related to the Tzelta Merubim Mechamatan. The Chiddush is that if you're going to utilize one of the artificial, meaning the virtual kind of dinim, which is the din of Lovud, or we'll find one of the other dinim, which is called Chavod Rami, to bring the roof slats together, then we consider them to be together even for purposes of the penetration of the Chama into the Tzel. Okay, so that's Rav learns Aniyah, Shmuel learns Kanala Kanayored. Now, that means according to Rav, there's only one case here. Rav says there's one case in the Mishnah, a Meduvlelet, which is Tzelata Merubah Mechamata. Shmuel says, no, it's two completely different cases. Let's explain that. Rav says there's one case. Rav Tanichada Suka Meduvlelet. And then it explains itself. What is meant by Meduvlelet? That it is dal. It's Midul Delet, and therefore it's sort of like hanging very shvach, very loose, Midul dal. So then, if Tzelata Merubah Mechamata Kshera, one statement. Shmuel says it's two different cases. My Meduvlelet, Mibubelet. First of all, a sukkah mibubelet, which means you got one slat up and one slat down, is kosher. And furthermore, if you have a sukkah which is weak in its chach, as long as it's tzelta meruba mechamata, it's kshera. Omar Abaya, now let me clarify according to Shmuel what we're talking about over here. I mean, you can't say that it doesn't matter how far the upper roof slats are from the lower roof slats. Of course it matters. If we're talking about a sukkah which has staggered levels of schach, so then as long as the vertical distance between one level and the other level is not three tefachim, so then you've got a lovut situation, in which case we could see it all, according to Tosis, all as one thing, according to Rashi, all as one thing, even in terms of the stima of the chama. But if you've got three tefachim, so then it's not kosher, because you can't see it as one roof. It's different levels. And Lamaisa, we don't have a solid roof, according to Tosfos, or we don't have the right to say, let's pretend that if they were at the same level, it wouldn't let the sun in. Why would we do that? It has to be based on at least a virtual schach. Amar Rava. Rava says, now, wait a minute. There's another issue here. You're not taking into consideration by it. The truth is that even if there would be more than lovut distance between the upper layer of staggered schach and the lower layer of staggered schach, there is still a way for the sukkah to be kosher in one circumstance. That is, the only limits that I would agree with you on, namely it has to be within three tefachim, is where you don't have each one of these slats to be one tefach wide. There, I agree with you. But once you've got each one of the slats is a tefach, then I don't care how far apart it is. It could be even 10 feet apart, 20 feet apart. It would still be kosher. Why? De'amrinun chavot rami. Now, this is a new concept that we haven't spoken about recently. And chavot, we did have a lot of chavot rami, if you remember, in Masechet Ohalot, where we were talking about precisely the same situation. If you recall, where you have two different layers of beams, and we're going to be getting into that mission that we had in Ohalot very soon. But the idea of Chavot Rami is, as Rashi explains it, an offshoot of the idea of good, except that good is the concept as it's applied to a mechitza, where you have things that need to be connected to seal up space on a wall. And Chavot Rami is where you're talking about a horizontal surface that needs to be attached to another horizontal surface, like over here. But in any event, the idea of Chavot Rami means grab it and throw it down. So Chavot means to throw, and Rami, so that means you put it in between. So since there is this concept, we take the upper slat, which is a tefach. It'll only apply to a tefach, says Rava. But if you've got a tefach, and you've got a tefach gap underneath that tefach, then there's a halachic principle, which is one of the halachic lemashmi sinais, which is that we can press it down so that now the upper layer becomes one with the lower layer. Omar Rava, I can prove to you that we will only say Chavot Rami if there's a Tefach. Mino amina la dechiit pei yibirat Tefach, amrina Chavot Rami, v'chilet pei Tefach lo amrina Chavot Rami. The reason I say it's got to be a Tefach in order to go with Chavot Rami, and if it's not a Tefach, what do? I still agree with you. Of course, we could use Lovot. I'm just saying, if it's three Tefachim or more, there's still another possibility, and that's the possibility of Chavot Rami. But, I mean, obviously, we have a Abaye's initial take on it, which is that if you've got a Tefach, three Tefachim, I mean, then as long as it's a little bit less three Tefachim, be okay. That's true. But in order to use the other idea of Chavot Rami, you would need to have in each one of the slats a Tefach. My source for that is the Mishnah in Ohalot, where we had over there the case where you've got a house under construction. So you've got a two-story house under construction. You've got the beams up, but they all two-by-fours. Everything is two-by-fours, but there is no solid surface anywhere. You haven't put on any material to make a floor or a roof, right? So it's entirely just a frame. So in a case where you've got a frame, korot habayit va'aliyah, so you've got the first story framing for the floor of the second story, and then you've got the second story framing for the roof of the second story, and they don't have anything on them. In alayim aziva, they don't have anything on them. Over here, aziva, before it meant plaster. Here it means they don't have anything. They don't even have wood on them. They just are the raw roof beams. So now let's imagine two different cases. You may have a case where you align the upper frame with the lower frame, so that basically, if you're looking from the bottom story of the house, you're looking upwards, you see a space between, it goes all the way up, you can see the sky from in between. So they're aligned perfectly. Okay, so then since each one of them is a tefach, if you have tuma, which is under one of the lower story roof beams, I mean, I shouldn't say roof beams, ceiling beams, so then, since it's a tefach, so if there's a kezayis bin amet in one side, and there's a kli on the other side, it will be maybe the tuma anywhere there. So then the entire area beneath that single beam, and only that single beam will be tame. But anything that's between them, something that's on top of that beam, of course, is not going to be tame because the beam is going to be chotze b'fnei ha-tuma. Now, if I put the tuma between a lower beam and an upper beam, since they're b'chuvan, one connected the other, so then the idea would be that only the area between the two beams is tameh, because again, the lower beam prevents the tumah from going down, upper beam prevents the tumah from going up, and the tumah is confined to the space between the two beams, which is always the din where you have a kezayis min hameis in a confined space being defined by tefach. Okay, how about if you've got al gabei ha'elyona? If you put tuma on top of the beam that's going to be the roof beam when we finish the beam, so then the tuma doesn't go downward, but it does go directly upwards. Like, remember, that's the laser and connect the other akia tame. Anywhere up is going to be tame directly because of that tuma. But how about if they are exactly the opposite? They're aligned against each other, meaning that the ones that are on the second story to be the roof beams, they are placed where the space is between the lower beams. So now they are elyonot or beina tachtonot. So then we have an interesting halacha, which is that this is all viewed as one solid closed roof. Wow. So if there's tuma anywhere, then the entire area of the house, upstairs and down, it's all one roof that's going like this, up and then down, but it's all enclosed space. So then if that's the case, we see them as all being on one level. And therefore, tuma tachtehem, if the tuma is under anything, it doesn't matter because the entire area, tachat kulam, is going to be tame. If the tuma is on top of any of them, then the tuma will only radiate upwards. Kinegan adarakia tame. Now, so far, it doesn't tell us how wide they have to be. It doesn't talk about the tefach. But there's a braita that does. And the braita on the Mishnah says, Bamed var mamurim, when is this true? What our Mishnah tells us, that soni bisman sheyesh bem tefach. This is only if the beams are one tefach and the space between the beams, between each of those beams is a tefach. But if you do not have a poteach tefach between the beams, which would mean that the beams on top are also less than a tefach, so then wherever the tuma is, the tuma is only under that beam. So then tachteh tameh, beinehem va'agabeihem is tahor. So you see from here, says Rava, look, that means that only if there is a tefach, then you say chavot romi. But if there's not a tefach, you do not say chavot romi, and that's what I'm basing it on, shmami. Now, by the way, there's big machlokas rishonim, three-way machlokas rishonim. Does the space have to be as wide as the upper beam, or once it's a tefach, we will chavot romi the upper beam into it? Does the space bichlal have to really be, when we're talking about if the upper part would be a tefach, does the space have to be a tefach? And furthermore, does the space have to match? What about if the space is wider than a tefach? Would we still put down the tefach and use it as chavot rami? Is it only the suggestive nature of the jigsaw puzzle that would apply chavot rami? Okay, that's a three-way machlokas. But in any event, one thing we do see is that we will say chavot rami in a case where we have a tefach, certainly not less than a tefach. So I say sukkah is the same thing as the Mishnah in Ayalos. Yosef Rav Kana Gamal HaShmai. So Rav Kana was saying over what Rava said, that the dinim of sukkah is the same as the din of the Mishnah in Ayalos. So Omer Le Rav Ashi, Rav Kana, why do you say that? Why don't we just say that the din of Tumah is very unique? Because, I mean, remember, Tumah, the whole idea of Tumah is based on Tefach. I mean, that's the concept of an oil for Tumah. But, I mean, doesn't mean all over that would be the din. Look, I mean, what about the case that we had in Erevin, right? So, is it true that Kol Echad, let's pay Tefach, Lo Amrina Chavot Rami? Remember the bright in Erevin? By the way, we just spoke about this bright a couple days ago. Korah ha-yotza mikotozeh. They don't know God be-kotozeh. V'chein shtei korot. Achat yotza mikotozeh, v'achat yotza mikotozeh. V'ein no got be-zeh be-zeh. There we were talking about whether we say lovud be-emtza. Okay, so here is where we had that issue, where we have a korah in front of a mavui. And remember, we need a korah to make sure that you're not going to carry out from the mavui into Rishus HaRabim. And the korah starts on one side, starts on the other side, but they don't get up to each other. They don't touch each other. Okay. And what about this case where we have either a gap or it comes up from one side, doesn't come to the other side? So then we said, if it's less than three tefachim, you don't need another korah. But if it's one of three tefachim, then you're going to have to bring another korah to seal it up. Now, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, so far this is not negias, that the shear is not three. Remember, this is Rav Shimon Gamliel, who holds all over that the concept of lovud is not defined by less than three tefachim, it's defined by less than four tefachim. So if it's pachot mi arba'ah, so ain't tzarich lavi korah acheret. If it's arba'ah, then tzarich lavi korah acheret. Now, here's the part that is important for us. And this is why we're asking on Rav. If you have shtei korot hamatimo, now suppose you put two korot side by side, so you have two narrow korot. Now, the problem is that a korah has to be wide enough to support an ariach. An ariach is a chatzi levena, which is 1.5 tefachim wide. So the Gemara said over there that as long as the korah is strong enough and wide enough to support that, it doesn't have to be 1.5 tefachim, because then you could take one tefach, have one etzpa sticking out in either direction, and you put it on with a little bit of glue. But so as long as it could support a brick, a half brick, which is what we call a brick, it's going to be kosher. Fine. So in the event that it's not that wide, but you have two of them, side by side, neither one of them has the ability to support, meaning the width, kedei lekabel ariyah, v'lo bezu, kedei lekabel ariyah. So then, if lamaisa, if you put them together, they would be able to support ariyah l'rochbo, so that they would be within a tefach, and then I could put the tefach and a half on top of them. So that's okay. Ain't so far we're only getting close to our case. Right now they're on the same level. Ain't tzarech lavi acheret v'im lav. But if they still wouldn't be able to be mekabel and ariach, tzarech lavi korah acheret. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, no, you can do it even better than that. Why not take the length of the brick. The length of the brick is 3 tefachim. So even if they were within the distance of each other, that would allow you to support that brick with orko along its length, which is 3 tefachim, and it's also strong enough to support it, you still wouldn't need to bring a korah achar. If not, then fine. Then I agree you have to bring another korah. Now, hayu achas lamala v'achas lamata. Now here we finally get to precisely what's troubling us. You've got one of these korot on one level vertically. Here we got the problem. We're dealing with 3 dimensions. So if you've got one of the korot that is meant to be side by side, is not really side by side. Well, it would be side by side, except for the fact that we've introduced a new dimension of height. Okay, so now it's one of them is raised above the other. Okay, so what's the din? Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Well, you look at it and you say, if it were lamata, ro'ina elyonaki lu lamata, or ro'ina tatachtonaki lu lamala. And then we say, if in fact they would have been at the same level, they would have been able to contain, to hold that Ariach or that Levena, depending on what the Mandi Omer is, but then they would still be kosher. The only limitation is that both of them have to be within the range of the kashrus of a Kera. What's the range of a kashrus of a Kera in terms of height? Same as a Sukkah. Remember? It was the exact same mission as the opening of our Masechet we had in the opening of Erevin. So it can't be lamala mi'esrim, and it can't be lamata mi'asara tvachim. So as long as the upper korah is within 20, and the lower korah is higher than 10, so then it would be kosher. Now, doesn't that mean that as long as they're anywhere within that space, that they would be kosher? And it's talking about where they're not a tefach. But Rava, you said we only would say chavod rami if there's a tefach. How are we putting these together without Chavod Rami? And the implication of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda is that HaZev and Zev B'toch HaSirim, they would both be within the correct parameters for a Korah. You would be able to say, I'm going to Chavod Rami, even though we're specifically talking about a case over here where they don't have a Tefach. That's why we need to put them together, because they don't have a Tefach. Omar Leis, Rav Kana said to Rav Ashi, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that we have one case here. And as long as the two parts are within the range of 10 tefachim to 20 amas, it doesn't matter how far apart they are from each other. No, it's not what it means at all. It means as long as the upper one is not lamala mi esrim, it's betoch esrim. But of course, there's a lower one that is next to it. It's within 3 tefachim, meaning that I could say lavud. That's the point. I'm not saying chavod rami. Or as long as the lower one is not less than 10 tefachim, in which case the upper one would have to be within 3 tefachim of it, because of lavud. Fine, so as long as lamala me'asra, but the elyona smucha l'bepachad mishlosha. In both of these cases, we'll say lavud. Rava agreed to lavud. He just said we can't say chavod rami unless you have a tefach. And here we're not talking about chavod rami. We're talking about lavud. So since it's mishlosha, in this case, if it would be shlosha, we would not have said chavod rami, because given a let le tefach, as Rava said, there's no way to utilize chavod rami. Fine. So that's perfectly consistent with Rava. Now, the next thing that we had is, a real contradiction to the opening Mishnah of our Masechet. The Mishnah says over here, a sukkah is only kosher if the shade is more than the sun. Now, what does that tell you? That if it would be precisely the same, it would be possible. What? But the opening of the Masechet, Atzlan Be'idach Pirkei, we said back in the first parak, we had our opening Mishnah, and there it said that the only thing that would passel the sukkah would be if you've got more sun than shade. Not that they're even. Because there it's a shechamatam ruba mitzilata, it's passel, which means very clearly that if it would be exactly the same, it would be kosher. So then we have contradictions in the first parak and the second parak. Says the Gemara, no. That's good for the point that the Mishnah is bringing out. Lokasha. Our Mishnah, which is mashma, that if it would be equal, it would be possible, is referring to the level of the schach, where you're measuring the amount of shade and the amount of sun at the level of the schach. But the Mishnah that opened up the Masechet was talking about milamata, where you have an equal shade and sun on the floor of the sukkah. Now, since the light that penetrates the sukkah will expand, And it's not a laser beam after all. So if it comes in from the top, it's going to spread. And therefore, by the time it hits the floor, that light that was exactly half and half on top is going to be more light than shade when it gets to the bottom of the circuit. So because of that, it's possible. But if you're talking about measuring equal amounts of light and shade at the bottom of the sukkah, then it would be kosher. That's how Rashi learns. Tosus learns a very different pshat, which is that if you're looking up from the ground to the top, it will look different to you. But in any event, we paskin like Rashi in terms of being machmer this way. And obviously, there's all types of discussion about how exactly does this work. In other words, I mean, would that mean that in the case where you've got a very high roof that's still kosher, because it's betoch esrim, but over there where you've got a little bit more tzel than chama, if at the ground it's still going to be more chama than tzel, would that passel it? Because, I mean, you're saying that it seems to need to be even at the bottom. Does it really need to be even at the bottom? A lot of discussion about that. Reb Meisha has a tshuva about it in terms of halacha lemaisa. The pashtus of the sugya is, of course, that it doesn't mean that. It means that we're looking to find a definition of tzel in terms of what is a schach, what is meaningful schach. We are not looking to either the top or the bottom in terms of an actual definition of the precise amount of tzel or chama that are going to be hitting a person who's sitting in the sukkah. And therefore, we don't really need to prorate the distance to make certain that we have the chamata not being meruba mitzelta at the bottom no matter what, because that isn't the point. As long as we've got a schach, which is considered to be a kosher schach for a sukkah, because essentially it's mostly going to be shaded, so then that would mean that we could call it to be similar, meaning milamata. And it's just a question of how we refer to it. Tosis understands that the whole sugya is related back to the sugya that we had earlier with Rav Papa about the question of whether you have porutz ke'omed or not. And therefore, he's got this problem of how does it jive with the porutz ke'omed sugya. Because of that, he actually learns lukula. And that what it's referring to is ha milamata, ha milamala, is where is the person who is measuring the schach standing? Is he standing on top or is he standing on the bottom? So according to Tosis, it's going to look to him different when he's standing on the bottom, and he shouldn't use that as his reference point. In which case, it would turn out that even if we're even on top, would be okay. Omer of Papa, Hainu de Amri Inchi. This idea that light spreads is, according to Rashi, or this idea that light seems to be wider when you're estimating it from the bottom, according to Tosfos, is that's what people say. Kizuza mila el is keistra mila tachan. So the sun that comes through a hole, where the hole on top is only the size of a zuz, is going to spread to the size of an istra by the time it hits the floor on the bottom. And an istra is four times the value, anyway, then so it's probably larger. The next thing that we had in the sukkah is mu'uva kemin bayit. So now we've got schach that is very thick, and it looks like you can't see that. It looks so thick that it would be like sort of like a thatched roof, you know. There's even a question, halacha lemaisa, we spoke about this at the beginning of the Masechet. What about if it is a thatched roof? So, I mean, a thatched roof would not let in even rain or anything, right? It's a perfectly normal roof. People use thatched roofs. And so many paiskin hold that if literally the rain can't get through, then already it's like a bayit and would not be considered to be a sukkah roof at all. That would be like, it would be like leaving your bayit to live in another bayit. But we're not talking about that thickly covered. We're talking about the covered to the point that visually you don't see the stars from inside the sukkah. So the bright explains this a little bit more. Tanu Rabbanan, uva kamin bayit. You have this thick sukkah covering, afa pisha ein hakochavim nirim mitocha, it's still kosher. But what about ein kochvei chama nirim mitocha? So when you have, I understand Kochavim are pretty small, but remember that the sun is also a star. So, I mean, at what point are you going to call, you can't see the Kochavim? Can you see your local star? So we only call the sun a star where we actually cannot see the body of the sun at all. So then the rays of the sun that get through things, those are called stars. That's called Kochvei Chama. So it's like little pinpricks of light that come from the sun. So then if you can't even see that, because they're much brighter than stars, so then what's the din? So there, Beit Shammai pasuls, because it's similar to a house. And that's like your normal house is pasul. Whereas Beit Hillel is makshir, even if you can't see the light of the sun penetrating. But meanwhile, we do see from here, Bepashtus, that lechatchila, you should be able to see the stars. So there's two shitas about that, lechatchila. One is you should be able to see kochvei chama, meaning that that's where Pesel was only makshir, makshir b'riyavad, but you don't need to literally see stars from it. There are others that paskin, that lechatchila, we want you to be able to even see the stars. Then we have a machlokas. What does that mean? See the stars? We put your eye up close to one of the holes? I mean, that's pretty easy to get. Or does it mean you're able to see the stars from the ground? All of these are chobres that are in order to be yotze, you know, that it should be muhudar. But as you see from here, we paskin that lemaisa, we paskin like Beit Hillel, that you wouldn't even have to be able to see the kochvei chama.